The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, the Cats have advanced edition of the podcast after they were able to get over the line on Friday night against the Blues. It was a few valves tightening early, wasn't there?
21 points, I think, the margin in the second quarter at one stage, Benny.
Was, well, even, the second quarter when they kicked the first goal of that second quarter to make it 21 points, Geelong actually had sort of had the better of the start of that second term. It was more the first quarter when they were actually being outplayed and looking a bit leaky down back. And then, as he so often does, the coach sort of moves the magnets around. I don't know that he does move. I'd love to be out there, Kingy.
You actually there. You're precisely grabbing a magnet and moving it.
Well, I don't know if it's... I don't think there is a whole lot of magnet moving to get, it goes on, in fairness. You get the odd move, but I don't think suddenly you're three goals down, so there's the back line's planted the forward line. But I'd love to know, I'd love to know what the message is, because it's happened quite a bit to the Cats, who have started a bit tardily and then found a way into the game. We've mentioned it a few times on the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack podcast, and thanks to Joe and the team at Kerr's Hire. But throughout this year, we conceded Brisbane a big start. I know we lost that game, but they ended up getting back to within level. They conceded North Melbourne a big start. Mm-hmm. They conceded Fremantle a big start. You probably have a better idea there. Three that come to mind. And Carlton wasn't. It was only two goals at quarter time, but the flow of the game was against the Cats. Are there any other games there that spring to mind where we were a bit slow out of the gates?
Melbourne.
Melbourne. We were lucky to be actually relatively close in that game against Melbourne. They completely outplayed us, and then Geelong were able to sort of resurrect things. You sort of wonder how that happens, don't you? For three quarters, Geelong were pretty much had the better of Carlton, but that first quarter, the Blues really troubled the Cats, but they were good enough to find a way and got another test Friday night.
I think Sam De Koning will play.
Yeah, we talked about that, didn't we, after the game a little bit, as to whether he would play. Yeah, you'd have to, with Tracy, Amos and Voss, the only thing, you'd be able to get their dimensions up, Kingy. Now, they're not giants.
Height.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Just wanted to know what dimensions.
What do you think
want.
I was getting?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know with you sometimes.
Right. I don't know if they'd give us any. You don't let us anyone's weight anymore, no, are you? It's no. All a bit...
So players prior to a certain period in time, you can see their weight if they debuted before, I think,
you can
2 years ago.
Hazard a guess.
Now, if you debuted afterwards, it's a vacant...
What do you think about that, Tom?
A vacant box. What do I think about that? I don't know where we're at. So Amos is 196.
Oh, yeah, he's taller than I thought.
Voss is 195. And Tracy's 193.
Yeah, okay. All right, so they're 2 or 3 centimetres taller than I thought. I thought sort of Tracy might have been your 191. Yeah. It plays a lot taller.
Bit your Ollie Henry sort of.
Yeah. They're actually a little bit taller than I thought. Yeah, well, you're right. I know it just doesn't go on the height, but it probably would stretch the Cats if they don't have a third tall, what you would classify as a third tall.
Need O'Sullivan, Henry and De Koning.
So who do they play on?
O'Sullivan goes to Amos.
Yes, I'm happy with that.
Jack Henry goes to Tracy.
Do you roll the dice and put O'Sullivan on Tracy?
Oh, you could.
He gets up the ground a little bit, Tracy. And O'Sullivan, I quite like O'Sullivan when he comes up the ground. He's got a huge tank. I don't know that Henry and De Koning have huge tanks.
De Koning goes to Voss.
Yeah, I don't mind that. Yeah. And fill me with... no knock on Sam De Koning. He's just a different sort of player, Voss. They had those three players... had absolute stinkers against Hawthorn.
They've kicked 150 goals between them this year.
Yeah, and they were horrible against the Hawks. Yep. Battle absolutely towered Tracy. You think he had? Did he have one kick? It was a goal, but it was within about 5 minutes to go. Game was all over. Amos had a few shots but couldn't convert, and Voss was in. He was in witness protection. Sicily absolutely towered him.
Yeah, Sicily's a star though. So Amos has had 5 disposals for the contest.
Tracy had one kick, I think.
So Amos 5. Tracy 4 and Voss had 11, but Voss's 11 disposals, 8 of those were handballs.
Yeah. They were,
between them, they kicked 2-1. Two goals, two.
And then you look at that then.
The other thing, I suppose, too, is you want DeConing there for when Cox goes forward.
Yep. Yeah, look, I think you're right. I think there is certainly a matchup for him, whether it's one of those three, whether it's Cox playing forward, Jackson, whether it's throwing him into the ruck to have a crack in Jackson at certain times. There's 100% a role. I'd be staggered if he doesn't come in. Now, who goes out would be the question. Now, we had a few players that looked a bit sore.
I think Jay Polkinghorne just had some moments in the game where he just looked a little bit off the pace for an AFL final, Ben.
He did. My only concern about Polkinghorne is he looks lumbering. The ball hits the ground.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah,
he just I don't know if that's the speed of the game or he doesn't have great speed. So it'll be.
I don't think he's quick.
Yeah, because that's my only negative on him going forward is he looks lumbering at ground level.
I think he's the one that, because that means then Cameron shuffles back into deeper forward.
Yeah.
And, you know,
he's probably not going out for form. He's going out because they want Cameron playing that role.
Horses for courses is what Chris Scott
probably,
said this morning.
You're probably right. I mean, how will Max Holmes come up? How will Tanner Bruin? I mean, Tanner Bruin seemingly did a fitness test literally 3 minutes before the game started.
They managed him through it.
He didn't look 100% though, did he?
No.
So Holmes certainly.
But there's an option there with Jai Clark.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, I mean, and that's a solid option. Jai Clark was in good form before he went out. So you'd love to Tanner Bruin to be playing.
Yes.
I like the way he's got clean hands. He's tough. Yes. He's skillful. He creates something. He plays with a little bit of dare at times.
Zip.
He's probably got, and he's got the, I mean, he's not, you wouldn't say he's hugely experienced, but he's got a lot more experience than Jai Clark.
Mm.
He's probably more creative than Jai Clark at this stage.
Although Clark played in the grand final last year.
He did and struggled, played down back. So, and he's been good this year playing that role. I get that. He's tough. He tackles well. Bruin just probably offers you a bit more offensively, getting the ball and then moving it forward and getting and doing those sorts of things than Clark at this stage of his career. So you hope Tanner Bruin's okay. It was a bit odd. I mean, he had a... I mean, Jace down on boundary line said, have a look, keep an eye on Tanner Bruin. So it must have happened prior to them in the initial warm-up.
Yep.
And then, literally, I mean, if people weren't at the ground, he was literally doing sort of runs up and down centre-half forward, three minutes before the game started.
Yep.
So, and then was deemed fit to play. He played okay. What, he had about 14 possessions, I think? I mean, I know it's not all about possessions, but he wasn't. He certainly looked a little bit off, and Holmes looked sore. We spoke to him after the game. He said he kicked the ground, which he'd done before with his injury, and it sort of...
You just don't want him to do that 5 minutes into the game, and then he'd be absolutely useless.
He does look off with his gait.
Yep.
Holmes.
Yep.
So is the game going to have helped him or hindered him in terms of, is he going to be even sorer this week than he was? You know, should the Cats, if they pulled the wrong rein and left him out and then tried to just get him right for this week. Because you would
but
have...
But you can't, because then if you got beaten, then you go, oh, gee, we should have played Max Holmes.
There's no right or wrong with that. You would have thought, I mean, if you're looking at it, you'd think Geelong would have had enough to beat Carlton. I know Carlton fans are up and about, but, I mean, we had superior form to Carlton and, you know, they'd gone on a good run, but against some pretty... average sides, and they bobbed up against the odd good team. But just on experience, if you looked across, and we had a few people message last week saying forward and back, Geelong had the winners all over the place.
Yep.
Midfield, and that early on was the midfield when it troubled us.
Yes.
And we spoke about, should they have tagged Smith or Walsh? They started to tag Walsh, went to Smith after he had 9 in the first quarter, only touched the ball 12 times for the rest of the game, Smith. Now Walsh continued to get a bit of it. He just doesn't hurt you that much, Walsh.
No.
He's not a great kick.
Well, 17 handballs in those 29 disposals too.
For Walsh, yeah. Look, don't get me wrong, he's a very good player.
You wouldn't be upset to have him in Geelong.
No, but he's not a silky, skilled, going to tear you apart. I think, and I said that last week, I thought Smith's a far more creative player than Walsh.
Oh, Smith's going to be a Hall of Fame footballer.
And I'm not surprised that they ended up tagging him out of the game. Yeah. And then from that point on, we actually got on top. Now, was that just coincidence? Possibly. But so then the question would beg, then who does Mullen go to this week?
Sarong.
Yeah, well, he's another one. I think he's a bit of Walsh. He's a good player. I'm not bagging these guys. He's a good player. He gets a lot of it. But He isn't super skilled now. You know, do you go to Walsh? Do you go to Brayshaw? I'd be going to Reed.
Yeah, if you read.
Yep. He's the one that really cuts you up. He's the equivalent of Smith. He's the creative one. He's the skillful one. He's the one that brings others into the game.
Same draft.
Yeah. Sarong is a really good accumulator. He's tough. He's nuggety. He does a bit of everything. Does he kill you with the footy in hand? Not all the time, no. Does he kick goals generally? No. Reed can do all that. Now, I know Reed's young, but I'd be looking to tag. Reed came off a stinker against Hawthorn.
Yep.
I'm sure he's the sort of player that will really come back.
He still had 24 disposals.
Yeah, and he butchered a lot of them. He looked at sixes and sevens, Kingy. Have you ever looked at sixes and sevens?
Does somebody need to sit on Jordan Clark?
Well, it's hard to sit on a halfback. Does somebody need to make sure that he's not whizzing through the middle of Optus Stadium at a million miles an hour and kicking at 70 metres to the top of the goal square? Yes.
Yep.
What do you have, 38 against the Hawks? Yeah. Yeah, you do. Now, but you're not going to tag him as
such. The other thing is, too, he took 11 marks, so that meant Hawthorn did at times, unfortunately, pick him out when they were going forward. Geelong got to be careful of that as well. He does seem to find space.
And they like to give it to him and use him running with his run out of the back half. Yeah, they need to have a mechanism there to try and nullify that. Now, is that close?
Probably.
Doing that?
Probably.
Does that then negate? Close actually played quite well on the weekend as a, you know, getting involved, going the other way. Does that then negate his ability to do that?
But if you've got Cameron coming back up the ground, he'll get more involved than Polkinghorne does.
Yeah. So they might be able to shift Polkinghorne out, get Cameron in, and then allow Close to play a more defensive role and still have enough firepower with Dangerfield, Ollie Henry, Neil, Cameron, Manor when he's up there.
Yep. I'd be running Manor through the midfield again.
I would be too. I think we've discovered across the last 2 weeks that Sean Manor needs to play 75% midfield and 25% forward. He's a good gun.
Because he's the new, and I know this is a very long bow to draw for a bloke that came into the system at age 26, but he is Dangerfield-like in the way he runs through the midfield.
He's very creative.
And he's very powerful.
And he's skillful. That's what you like about him. You know, generally when he gets the footy, good things are going to happen.
Yeah.
That's when you talk about Sarong. It doesn't always. And Holmes and Bailey Smith are a bit like that for the Cats.
Yeah.
Not you know, they're not proficient with ball and hand, but Manor is, and he's become a really good football.
The other one Geelong needs around the footy is Myers.
He was his best game for the year.
Yeah. And on Optus Stadium, wide expanses, just that pinpoint use by foot is going to be so important because Fremantle are going to set up well defensively. You know that, as much as they were not very good. But I don't think their defence was to blame for what happened on the weekend.
Well, I mean, they just couldn't handle Hawthorn's pressure. They couldn't move the footy. They made them go sideways down the line, and they just had no mechanism to move the ball. No. Hawthorn's pressure was absolutely elite, probably held by the fact that it was slippery conditions. It was raining. Now, we're probably not going to get that on Friday night. I don't know what the forecast is, but you'd have to think it's perhaps going to be on the dry side. Now, does that suit the Cats or the Dockers? They fumbled a lot. Their key forwards couldn't get near it. Without their key forwards getting near it, their smaller forwards couldn't get near it. I mean, everything that could possibly have gone wrong for Fremantle went wrong. You know, their midfield was someone like Murphy Reid, we mentioned him, was terrible. Even though he had it 24 times, he had no influence on the game. They had, other than Clark, and, you know, one of their best players on the night was, his possessions weren't huge, but he was the one that was clean with Switkowski.
Mm.
He was actually
retiring.
Yeah, he was actually good for the Dockers. So Geelong have got to get their matchups right. The other one of note, Kingy, I reckon, will be really interesting to see whether Brennan Cox plays for Freo.
Yes.
He is a critical player. They are, I think, a bit vulnerable. If he's not playing,
they're
a bit vulnerable in defence. They don't have another tall defender. They've got Pierce, obviously, who's a gun. So Pierce goes to Neil. And then it filters down from there. I mean, they were trying to put players like Chapman.
Yep. Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan. They're
mid-size.
They are. They don't have a second. Mind you, the Cats went with only one key defender last week against Carlton.
Yep.
But Geelong have a few options.
Yep.
So without, and Cox is a very good intercept player. He's actually underrated, I reckon, Brennan Cox. He's a good mark. He's steady. He's their equivalent of, and I'm not comparing them, but he's probably a Zach Guthrie, Tom Stewart for them.
Yes. Yep.
He's good. So he did a calf 2 weeks ago. So this was the, he missed, obviously, they didn't play, and then he missed. So he's had 2 weeks. Now, they were saying it was a 2 to 3 week injury. So it'll be huge if he's not playing, I reckon, for Freo.
Just having a look at what the latest is with their injury list of the Dockers. Yeah, last week it was 1 to 2 weeks, so... Yeah,
they were saying yesterday that he was it was a sort of going to be a test.
Yeah.
They weren't saying one way or the other.
Yeah.
So
they think Brandon Walker will play too.
Well, I don't know that. Well, you'd have to think he couldn't. I mean, he hurt his ankle quite badly.
They
came off.
They haven't ruled him out.
I mean, he hadn't played since early on in the year.
Yeah, correct.
They rolled the dice there with the speed on Whit Watson because they don't have their defense. I think is a bit vulnerable.
Yeah, you wonder who goes to Dangerfield. If Dangerfield's
it'll be a riot.
Yeah, if Dangerfield's even half on Friday night, he could have.
Can he do it again?
Who knows?
Recent history would say no.
And even the coach admitted that today.
Yeah.
But, you know, people have suggested that Dangerfield doesn't play, which is not going to happen anywhere.
I heard other people suggest that they should drop Ollie Henry.
And Jeremy Cameron.
Yeah. Well, the slouch. The Jack Riewoldt, George Lewis, they were with Nathan Buckley on the slouch. They said that they were suggesting the camera should go out. Nathan Buckley nearly fell off the couch.
I was going to say, he would have been rolling his eyes, wouldn't he?
Well, he was sort of like saying, are you serious without saying, are you serious? So they were serious. That was the funny thing about it.
You predicted it pretty well last week how it would unfold too. You got some good feedback from some people who were listening.
As in?
Jared from GMHBA was very impressed.
That?
You predicted how the game would play out.
Well, I predicted Cameron to start on the wing.
Yeah, no, but in terms of how the match would unfold.
Yeah.
Carlton would start well, Geelong would pull them back
and then
pull away.
Pull away, yeah, which is what happened.
Yeah.
This week, King, I know we say it most weeks, and it is critical, although Geelong would refute that given they've had coughed up some leads at quarter time and been able to win. This first quarter, this first 45 minutes of this game on Friday night is enormous.
Yeah.
If Geelong could start well and put some doubt into the Dockers, you'd have to think that they would be unbelievably susceptible to falling apart completely.
26 degrees.
Yeah, right. So you need your banana boat.
Yeah.
What?
6'10 bounce, so the sun will...
So we'll have to take... I'll have to pack the sunscreen then.
For you, yes.
Do you think I should take the mankini?
No.
Why not?
No.
I've got an orange one.
That's
frightening.
Matches your hair.
Yeah, that's why I got it.
What colour's your hair again?
It's Caribbean gold, Tom.
What? James Warple unlikely to play again this year.
Yeah, well, that's even if he was fit, Kingy, I don't know that he would get in.
No, but he even misses just about on being part of the VFL.
So he's done his hamstring again.
There's an update coming this afternoon. I asked at Chris Scott's media conference this morning, Tuesday morning, about James Warple, and he said it's likely his season is over. So he didn't explain why.
So he must have had some relapse.
Setback.
What else did the coach have to say that was of note?
Well, there was a 3AW have their rumour file, and somebody went on the rumour file and said that Chris Scott was thinking about pulling the pin. So a journalist...
Pulling the pin on the Cats?
Yeah, on coaching, yeah. So a journo asked him. Now, I had no idea this was the case, and a journo asked a question about Chris's future and said, do you expect to be coaching out your contract, which is till the end of 2029? And Chris goes, well, that wasn't in my briefing, because obviously the media person says, oh, you probably might expect this, or this to be asked. And he said, all right, no, that's new to me. So he said...
Did he take it well or not?
Yeah.
And what did he say?
I expect to see out my contract.
Right.
Yeah.
So but you could get on that room file and just say anything, really, couldn't you?
Well, so I think it caught the coach a little bit on the hop.
He's been caught on the hop.
Yes.
I know someone else who was caught on the hop. It was on a current affair.
Right.
It involved with St. Joseph's College back in the day.
Right, okay.
So,
anyway, yeah, let's move on.
I don't know if it was Stephen.
Anyway, right. Questions?
Yeah, I absolutely love. I love
questions. This is
the other thing we need to talk about just quickly is just two things. We need to stop Luke Jackson.
Yep.
Last time we played them, he ran amok. And did you hear James Kelly was asked on, I think it must have been on the weekend, does your senior coach ever hold back tactics against certain clubs when he thinks that he may be playing them? And he said yes. We spoke about that when Geelong played Fremantle.
Yes, didn't play all the cards.
There's no way known that was the biggest circle work game I've ever seen. So I've got no doubt in my mind that Geelong left the ace of spades, maybe the queen of diamonds, and may hopefully a joker.
They're only playing the three of hearts.
They played the ten of spades, and they occasionally dropped in the jack of clubs, but they didn't drop any red cards in there that would get you excited. Yeah. So I've got no doubt, because we spoke about that, and I reckon you said, oh, no, and I said, I
sort of, where the season was at, you're still playing for top four. Do you want to be messing around with that?
Well, just the way that game went, Geelong should have been 10 goals behind at halftime. Yeah. No, they weren't. Second half was probably a little bit more even. But the way Fremantle moved that footy was they went from end to end. They were all over the place. If you can get that game up, Kingy, that game, that Geelong-Freo game, I reckon there was a heap of Dockers had a heap of the footy. Like, I'm talking a heap of the footy. The numbers were off the charts. And Geelong were good enough to hang with them and still kick some goals, but Freo were allowed to do whatever they liked.
Brayshaw had 35.
He doesn't have 35 most weeks.
Luke Jackson had 28. Murphy Reed had 27. Erasmus had 24. Sarong, 23. Ryan, 20. They had six players with more than 20.
The
Cats, on the other hand, their leading disposal winner was Max Holmes with 27. Bruin had 26. Humphreys, 24. 21 for Atkins, 20 for Dangerfield and Zach Guthrie.
It was a real circle work game, and Geelong's ability or inability to stifle Fremantle's ball movement was off the charts.
The thing we forget is Bailey Smith didn't play against Fremantle
in that game. Mm. Oh, well, he's the ace up the pack. Yeah. Geez, he's ace up the sleeves, and I think it's ace up the pack.
It's either ace in the pack or ace up your sleeve.
Yeah, whatever it is, King.
But the guys that played that night that aren't playing, Jack Martin played that night, won't play. Jack Bowes played that night, won't play. George Stevens is the other.
And so, Jackson and that game there, I am positive Geelong did not play all their cards. So, you know, we'll see what's in the locker. And the other one we need to mention too from Friday night, how good he was, and he raised a couple of eyebrows when he was in the team, was Wilshire.
Yeah, outstanding.
Nobody was disappointed he was in the team. It was more, an interesting one. Young player. First final.
Career high.
He looked clean. He set up well.
Didn't finish.
No, he didn't finish. Kicked 3 points. But he finished beautifully when he hit up, he was under pressure, but he had to make a decision, and he had about four decisions he could choose from, and he picked the right one by kicking it to Ollie Henry, who went back and kicked a goal. His handball to Myers was slick, and then Myers kicked a goal from outside 50. He just did a few things where you thought, wow. And you know, we hope he backs it up. Yes, do we expect him to? It's going to be tough, a final, but it was hats off to the Cats for going with him. And as we've spoken about on this podcast, he's something a bit different, isn't he? He's got leg speed.
Yep.
He's got that ability to sort of break the game up a little bit. I'm trying to think of, he sort of reminds me of somebody. I can't think who it is, but he plays at, you know, he's
a
not.
A Geelong, former nah, Geelong player, or a current AFL probably, player?
He has an ability to break the game up. He takes it on. He's quite skillful without being over the top. And he's got, although he missed on Friday night, he generally has some reasonable goal sense. So, and on the fast deck of
Optus,
we're going to need him some wheels, and he's got them.
Are we going to Sydney next Friday night, Ben?
I don't know, Kingy. I was. You couldn't have put enough on Cats beating the Blues.
Mm.
And the fact that they opened $1.70, the work experience kid was involved there. Like, that was just ridiculous. I have no idea that was possible. You could have got the Cats at the line at about $1.98, $2 to win by a goal.
Mm. Gamble responsibly.
And sometimes, yeah.
No. Anyway, questions off the KFCX.
Yes, off the Triple X.
Adrian Mancini, boys, great win Friday night. Danger huge, but I think Grine really stood out with his ball use. Super player, same as Manor. SDK back in.
Yes. We've spoken about all that. We're ticking all that.
Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
Kingy and Benny. Great call once again on Friday night. Good to see the Blue supporters leave through the third quarter. What do you think of our chances on Friday night? If we bring our pressure in the forward half, I think we have a chance.
Yes.
SDK needs to play, but who comes out? I think Polkinghorne will be the one.
Yeah, I think you're right, Kingy. I was trying to sort of think who would be the obvious out. Now,
I've spent all year trying to get Jay Polkinghorne into the team.
Well, I mean, he's done a great job.
Yeah, he has.
He's done better.
14 goals from 7 games.
He's done better than you thought.
Yeah.
But I think you're probably right. I think it's probably more a balance thing than a, perhaps like last week was for De Koning down back. You know, Polkinghorne comes out because there isn't, they do want to get Cameron closer to goal, and the best way to do that is to remove somebody. The other side of the thing, the other side of the coin will be just if there are some injuries, that may limit the ability. If there is no Bruin or no Holmes or one of those players is out, then, I mean, hopefully they're not, but if that's the reality, then that may alter who comes out of the side. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Dave Twist, if we lose Friday, this is a good question. Has the season been successful or unsuccessful?
Dangerous, Dave.
Now, he gives these as a caveat. I get the Cats aim for the flag every year, but we've blooded young players out of games into Neil, Dempsey, O'Sullivan, and depending on what you hear, have Butters and Green coming in. That sets us up for years.
Yes. I'd say, Kingy, it's been a positive for the Cats, even if they lose to Fremantle.
Yeah, it's a positive.
It's
fifth place finish.
The only thing I'll say about that is that there's two or three games throughout the year there where you just scratch your head.
Yep. Port Adelaide.
And Geelong are good enough to win the premiership.
Yep.
That's the thing. Like, they're as equal any of these top four sides. I mean, we saw what Sydney did to Brisbane, Freo, Hawthorn did to Freo. You know, if Geelong get it right on the night, like, Carlton were never going to beat Geelong.
No.
They just were never. They weren't battle hard enough. They weren't seasoned enough. They weren't going to be beating the Cats. Geelong could go in against any of those top four sides and win. But they've just cost themselves by, you know, lapses, three or four lapses throughout the year that have cost them that top four spot and that ability to get a home final. So you look back on it and think, yeah, it's a positive, but again, you'd say it's frustrating because they're good enough to actually be winning it.
Chris Quinet, gents, I can't see how playing Jez on a wing half-back is more beneficial than him at full forward. Surely Long Muir would be licking his lips seeing Jez up the ground. Is this something that can work on, or is it Scotty being arrogant and doing something because people say he shouldn't? I suspect it's just been trying to get Jeremy Cameron back moving.
Well, Nathan Buckley, and we spoke about it, Kingy. You and I spoke about it last week and have the last couple of weeks basically intimated that the forward line will work very well without Jeremy Cameron in it.
But also that he needs to, I just think, to get try and get his hands on the footy up the ground because sometimes you can play deep forward and not see it. And he's been out for, what was he, 4 or 5 weeks?
He did. When he did go forward at times on Friday night, I know he didn't touch the ball much, but he actually looked a little bit more dangerous than he did on the wing.
Yep.
He couldn't get near it.
No.
He was actually... He was in witness protection. Not often we've said that about Jeremy Cameron. But he actually looked a little bit more dangerous inside forward 50. Now, did that coincide with the Cats getting on top? Yes. Were they getting more opportunities? Yes, they were. But he did look more dangerous. And, yeah, I think you're right. They've probably just got one too many forwards. This is my point about getting Toby Green.
Yep.
It's just another one up forward. So, do we want Toby Green? Yes. But where do we play him? Like, if you're already saying that for a final... we have to take Polkinghorne out to get somebody in.
Mm.
Well, that's only going to be magnified with Toby Green in the side.
Yep.
You'd have another one there. So, anyway, it's for up to them to decide. Can he play up the ground a little bit, Green? Maybe he's got one more year up the ground as a 33-year-old, but he's going to have to start playing more close at home.
Yep.
He's not going to be drifting up the ground more at his age.
The token opener, Mick Howley. Kingy, with the AFL and VFL teams playing this weekend, is the whole AFL list effectively available for selection, as in games played at AFL level don't matter for VFL selection this weekend? That is correct. You can play.
So the Cats will have, obviously not Warple.
No.
So they'll have a pretty strong VFL team to choose from. So Conway, Barker, Warple, another fella not playing too, isn't there? In terms of not being available at all.
In terms of injury. No, I think Mattify Forbes will be back.
Right, so he'd be available.
Yeah, I think he's available, yep. So they
have three or four players out of the entire list.
They should be able to roll out about 15 or... Oh, it's Stanley.
Oh, Stanley, yep.
They should have about 14 or 15 AFL listed.
And who are they playing?
So this is the thing, though, Ben. What will happen is they're playing Port Melbourne here on Sunday. So if Geelong would win on Friday night and, say, got injuries, they'd have to hold blokes back because it's only a five-day turnaround from Sunday into Friday. For the Swans game.
Right.
So, but if they were to lose...
So what? How many do you think they'd hold back to?
Oh, a couple at least, yeah. So I reckon they'll fly more than 26
over. Who would that be then? Perhaps... Then you can never be certain what gets injured.
No, you don't know.
If you've held out a forward and a midfielder and you get a defender gets injured...
Yeah, you just don't know. Maybe one of each.
So would it be... Do you think, say, let's say Polkinghorne went out, he would be carried over?
Oh, I would have thought. He
Polkinghorne, and who else would be next in line?
I reckon Clark would get held over.
If he doesn't come back in?
Yep. Jack Martin might get held over.
Well, you'd think Polinghall was going to get in before Martin.
Yeah.
As a forward.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see. Well, hopefully... Well,
I'm just looking at who the three emergencies were last week.
Stevens, Nevitt.
Yeah, well, they weren't emergencies last week.
So who were the emergencies?
It was Martin.
Clark, Martin and De Koning, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
De Koning's playing ones.
Yeah, so De Koning plays ones, and then, well, let's hope they're doing that, Kingy. Let's hope that's a problem, that because if the Cats could get over Frio, geez, we go up to Sydney with their tails up.
Yeah.
Have you ever gone anywhere with your tail up?
Enough from Corio, enough experienced a strange phenomenon. Phenomenon. Yeah. There he was sitting in a packed house, and next moment, as Benny shouted, hit the showers, he was suddenly at a North Melbourne home game. Maybe the Carlton flakes couldn't handle the big junk. Nuff's jeans, however, were vertically stiff. Oh, jeebus.
The Nuff. So the Nuff, I'd love to know the Nuff is, but he clearly is a St. Joseph conveyance.
Yeah, he knows a little bit about you.
He clearly does. So he went to St. Joey's in 1989, was his year 12.
Right. Yeah. And he's got you absolutely perplexed, and I
love
needs
it. To offer, he needs to give us some hints, Nuff.
Nuff, I want you to reach out and let me know who you are, and I'll never reveal it to Benny, and we can have it both over, Benny.
No, just give me a couple of hints. I'll get it eventually.
All right. Off the off, Cat Attack
off
Big
the,
Footy
off
Forum.
Small footy, yeah. The small footy forum.
Daz Broncos, this is for all the marbles now. The North game essentially was the first final. So far we're 3-0 going for 4-0. Frio, the stiffest opposition we'll have faced in 3 months. Benny loves a stiff opposition. Jezzan not adding a great deal, but right off at your own peril. SDK must come back in and Polk is out of there. Clark in if Bruin is too sore with the quad, I think it is. PFD was just unreal, but we cannot expect another virtuoso performance like that again. O'Connor underrated last week will be pivotal this week. With Edwards' improvement almost weekly, Blitz, Neil and SDK all in my 23 this week. Can we work Jackson over and at least nullify him enough?
Well, we're going to have to try and do something there. He's a gun, Jackson. I was just thinking as you were reading that out, King, could somebody like an O'Connor be an option for Clark?
Yes.
Just the only problem with that is that O'Connor, I know he's kicked a couple of goals, but he's not...
He kicked 3.25 in Adelaide, and that's about it.
Yeah, he doesn't... He's not really going to hurt you going the other way. So, you know, you got to... You know, what do you covet more? Do you covet stopping Clark more, or somebody who perhaps be a bit dangerous? Close is that player who can bob up and kick you a goal. So, but is he going to do a good a job as defensively as O'Connor? Probably not.
Also... And given how head-to-head the last Frio game was, do you think Scott will have a coaching wrinkle or two for this one to keep Frio guessing?
Yes, I've got no doubt that there's going to be some wrinkles. Love a wrinkle. Love when someone throws up a wrinkle.
Khan Katter, solid effort after quarter time. Thought our small forwards did the damage. The department store, the country house, no cigars and steak knives. So that's Myers, Manor, Close and Wiltshire. The latter was very sharp, I thought. Pun intended, but also true. Going to the NFL Friday, so we'll be well and truly fizzed come Friday night. Hope we win, although to be fair, probably won't be able to tell either way. Go the Cats and the Ravens.
Oh, the Ravens, the Dirty Birds.
Baltimore.
God, we hate them with a passion. They're like... Carlton and Collingwood to us, Bengals and the Ravens, they're in our division. We play them twice a year, and we don't like each other at all, not in the slightest.
Thank you, Ben.
But if that's going to be a good effort, if you can be start your refreshing around about sort of 9:30 with the tailgating,
oh,
and then launch yourself to watch the Cats at 8 o'clock that night,
what
and
a
then
day.
See it out at 11 when the siren goes and sing the song. That would be tremendous. That would be a really strong performance.
That is strong. Some sort of day. This is from Cats, 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 Cats. Mm-hmm. Have either of you two ever considered making the move to one of the bigger Melbourne-based radio stations to call the footy, assuming more money and more opportunities up the highway? A lot of people have asked me this, and it's really hard to give this answer, but I'll give the answer that I usually give to people. I don't think anybody's aware of us.
Nobody's ever rung you and said, can you do this?
No.
Even off the TV?
No.
What was his name? Adam, he's quite good on the telly. He just started off doing, what's his name? Your name, King. Adam, how do you pronounce his surname?
Papalea from 6PR in Perth?
Yeah.
Yeah, good fella.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's quite Fox. Good. He's quite good on the Fox.
Yes, he's very good. Yeah.
It's a different style of commentating. Is he talking radio or television?
No, radio.
Radio. I mean, it's a different style of commentating doing TV to radio. TV, you don't need to commentate as much. I mean, if you doing radio, you need to sort of have the thought that people aren't watching, which some people, a lot of people are, but you can't just call. For TV, you don't need to call absolutely everything that happens. You can bypass, and people are seeing it for themselves. But
I've never – there was one station a long time ago showed a little bit of interest. And
what did you do?
I never went I wasn't involved in the conversations. It was actually somebody that used to work here talking to that station sort of on my behalf. They were just asking questions about me, and that person who was in control of their footy coverage left, and it never...
I've
sent tapes off. But
have you?
Not to stations. I've sent them off to commentators who I respect to basically critique. What do you think?
What did you get back?
You can call, obviously. And I'm happy to name those people. So I know Dwayne Russell personally. Dwayne's
he started it.
Air checked. Alistair Nicholson.
Oh yeah. Big Al.
Got him to air check me. Do you know what? I'm so lucky to do, and I think you agree with me, we're so lucky. We get to go and watch Geelong, win 70% of the time.
Mm. It's been great.
But how often do we rock up to a Geelong game going, they are absolutely no chance today?
No, we don't.
No.
Occasionally they play like they're no chance every now and then. But yeah. Every team does.
But I'm happy to say this publicly. I've always said that now, because you and I have been, this is 7 years.
Is it 7 years?
That you and I...
Jeez, it goes quick, doesn't it?
But if somebody wanted me, I'd want to take you with me.
But nobody's going to... Who would...
But nobody takes packages. Like it doesn't happen like that.
No.
So,
But it's also, the other thing for me, it's not my...
it's not your main occupation.
I'm involved in another sport, so... I enjoy doing it. I enjoy commentating. I enjoy going to the footy. My own style. My style wouldn't probably wash within the Melbourne market. It washes because I'm a Geelong supporter, and people know that. And you can be a little bit off centre and a bit off key, and you can do things a bit differently when you're commentating on a station where the bent is towards one team.
Yep.
We're not completely biased, but we do have a Geelong slant. So
we're not quite what the TV was for the Tassie Essendon game on the weekend.
No, we're nowhere near that. But you can do things a different way.
Yep.
Now, I mean, could I adapt to another station? Possibly, but I'm not sure that anybody would be really interested. Kingy, I enjoy what I do, and it's just the Cats game, and it's good fun.
Yeah.
And as soon as it wouldn't be fun, it's when you'd be wanting to give it
when
away.
When it became a chore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. We got it. Yeah, and we're lucky. Like, we get 10 or 11 games down here every year. If we, including a community series game, we only travel interstate half a dozen times, and that's a bit of fun. We're only going to Melbourne half a dozen times. Look, remember when we were going to Melbourne when we were calling three games a weekend? We were going to Melbourne every Friday night.
Yeah, it wasn't great. Yeah. I don't need anybody. Nobody would have a clue that I even called. I think in Melbourne, in fairness.
Oh, same here.
They would with you because you're in the media more. That's your role, so you're out there. I'm in a different sphere, so. But anyhow, look, it's neither here nor there. No one's ever rung me and said...
Never.
No.
No.
Occasionally, I'll get somebody say, heard you say something. And I think, wow, could have been possibly listening. Although, so that thing got a run about it, the showers, didn't it?
Yeah.
Because somebody texted me I don't know when it went out, but one of the first texts I got was, hit the showers. I'm thinking, what?
The one team only fire drill.
Yeah, there's one supporter group fire drill. Yeah, that was fantastic. That was fantastic. They were just filing.
Well, we're hoping that that happens on Friday.
Well, hopefully we're there. When we're there, King, you just see them filing out. That would be fantastic.
Catters07, hi, gents. Very Geelong tight win on Friday night. Once Geelong set up behind the ball, I thought Carlton would struggle to move. They just don't have a plan B. Wiltshire and Myers and Manor were fantastic, especially to get Geelong going in the second quarter. Do you think the Cats asked for a Sunday VFL final to get their emergencies who don't play AFL time to fly back and have a hit out? There's a little bit to that. Geelong AFL playing Friday night. AFLW play Saturday, and then having VFL Sunday just spreads the load with staff and the like, because they've got to send some staff to Adelaide for W. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Cats said, hey, you could make our life a bit easier here. There's blokes that can play, give you our best team possible to play, by not coming home on the red eye.
Yeah.
Lastly, you boys have had a swap.
A lot of logistics, isn't it?
Lastly, have you boys had a swap this year where Benny seems more the optimistic about Geelong and Tom is more the pessimist? Any particular reason? For the record, I'm usually glass half empty, but this year I've said the Cats' best is as good as any team in it. I'm quietly confident the Cats will put in a show this week, but also the Dockers will want to respond after last week. The Sydney win, by the way, is one of the best finals performances you will likely see.
Yes.
They went over Brisbane. Heading to the NFL Friday morning before getting home to listen to you blokes synced up to the TV to try and get the Cats to Sydney. All the best.
Well, that's a good call. A really good call. That's why I was just thinking that the earlier question about the how would you sum up the year if the Cats lost? I don't know. It's one of those years you could definitely have 50 cents each way.
Yeah, you could walk away going, gee, did we miss a trick?
You could walk away saying, God, we had a chance to win that.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and I've got no doubt Geelong will put up, they'll play well on Friday night. Now, will they win? Fremantle's best footy this year has probably been the best in the competition, alongside Brisbane's when Brisbane have been on. We're getting the Dockers potentially very vulnerable, and that first 30 minutes, 45 minutes, if Geelong could find a way to put three or four goals on them, geez, it just the mental state of that team, it could alter the game. Yet if the other side of the coin is if the Dockers somehow find a way to get off to a good start,
they get four goals up early.
It'll be very hard for the Cats to peg that back.
The Lord of Sleepy Hollow Manor into the midfield, Mullen onto Jagger Smith, and the change in our defensive structure, another classic Chris Scott move, the Magnets' performance that completely flipped the game. Looking ahead to Freo, does SDK get the call up for the extra tall down back?
Yes.
And more importantly, will Scotty be spending a bit of time in the mounting yard this week, running his eye over Sam before selection? I hear Benny knows a thing or two about mounting yards. If you boys are heading over to Perth, get yourself to Uncle Billy's in Chinatown. Elite Chinese food, and I can assure you, you'll leave very well refreshed. Cheers, boys. Go Cats.
Yes, we might do that, Kingy.
Fox Dog 50, Jeremy Cameron.
That was a good shout.
I've got a couple of questions. I'm sure you'll bring this one up. You can never ride off a champion, and I certainly wouldn't, but G's current form is becoming a pretty big concern. He didn't do a lot against Richmond, and then he was very poor against Carlton. I understand he's carrying the arm issue, and he's clearly not 100%, but now we're at the pointy end of the season where you can't afford passengers. I think he's going forward. Natural habitat.
Yep. I think that gives Geelong the best chance to win. If he's going to play poorly, he takes a good you'd rather him up forward than on the wing, because he was giving us nothing on the wing. And every now and then he becomes a bit of a liability because he'll drift back behind the footy at half back, and then he will get a possession and he bites off more than he can chew. It's not his natural game. As good as he is, it's not his natural game to spot blokes up through traffic, getting out of defence. So put him up forward. It means that they're going to have to play arguably one of their best defenders on him.
Yep.
Is he good enough even at 60% to maybe snaffle you two or three goals?
Absolutely.
Correct. Can he make someone nervous? Yes. He's a gun. So I'd be definitely, I think you're right, Kingy. I think they've got no choice but to put him forward and just hope that he can do something. And if he doesn't, well, you're not going to, at the end of the game, say, geez, I wish we had left Jeremy Cameron out.
So Foxdog 50 says, I'm honestly even questioning whether we play him, which sounds absolutely ridiculous, but finals football is brutal. Can't carry someone purely because of what they've done in the past. Thing is that while Jez has been struggling, we've actually discovered we can function without him. The younger guys have been given opportunities and stepped up. So what do we do? Do we back the champion in and hope he produces one of those Jezza moments?
Yep.
Or do we say, mate, put the feet up, get that arm right, and we'll see you next year? That won't be happening.
I think it's a good call, though. Like, it is... Yeah, most sane Geelong supporters are thinking, how could we possibly say we want to leave Jeremy Cameron out? But, you know, and they won't. They won't. The reality is they won't. And you're not going to, but, you know, he does. Did this happen earlier in the year and he kicked 10? Kicked 10?
10 earlier in the year?
Yeah.
No, kicked the 10 against 10 or 11 against North Melbourne last year.
Last year, wasn't it? He's been under the pump a little bit this year at times and responded. I know when he got injured against GWS, I know he's playing in defence, but he actually got a fair bit of it that day.
His best this year.
Best haul.
Yeah, in terms of goals. Oh, no, kicked 10 against the Dogs. That's right.
And did he have a bit of a stinker coming in?
He kicked 3 against the Eagles a week before.
Yeah, that was when they
won. 1 against Hawthorn on Easter Monday, goalless against Adelaide at home, and 3 goals, 4 against Freo in round 1.
Yeah,
he was probably a bit middling before he kicked that 10.
And he kicked 10. Look, it's
amazing what you forget when the season rolls.
I'd be backing him in to do something. Is he going to be vintage Jeremy Cameron?
No.
Probably not.
No,
is he going to be a little bit steel, a little bit chip on his shoulder. Yeah. Is he going to do kick you two or three? I'd be betting on that. Which is in fairness, which is probably more than Polkinghorne is going to offer you playing his eighth game.
Yep. We're talking about Rowan Marshall to Geelong. He's now requested a trade, but he hasn't nominated a club.
No, well, it's the Cats.
Foxdog50 says I'd probably pass on him. Reason simple, I reckon if Marshall comes in, Edwards' development goes backwards. Giving junk games this year has turned him in from a bit of a nothing player into something who looks like he could be a future star ruckman. We've finally got the bloody thing growing, so why put a roadblock in front of him now? You might say we can't play them both, but then I'd ask you this. Who are the three players you're dropping from Friday night if we bring in Marshall, Green and Butters? At some point, we've got to start giving our young blokes games too, otherwise we'll have the oldest of AFL team in Australia. I'd rather much go after a fringe slash depth ruckman, someone like Laddams, Riley O'Brien, Liam Reedy, or even a mature age state league ruckman who can come in and do a job for five or six games a year if Edwards needs to rest or get injured. Let's be honest, Marshall isn't coming to Geelong for minimum chips and a packet of Smiths. He'll want to get paid properly. For me, spend the big money on Green and Butters, back Edwards in and get cheap insurance policy in the ruck. 12 months ago, I would have driven Marshall to Cadinia Park. Now I'm happy to hand him the keys to someone else.
Yeah, you can't argue with a lot of that. It is a catch-22. Do they go with a cheap sort of backup, or do they go with an expensive backup? That's probably what you're wrestling with. I mean, we can't go into next year with just Edwards.
No.
I mean, let's put Conway to the side. If he was to come good, then it's a different problem.
Yep.
But he hasn't been right for 3 years, so and he only put footy boots on twice this year, I think. That was at home. He actually wasn't at the club. But so we forget Conway. If as I mentioned, he could be a really valuable trade piece for the Cats going forward if he was to come good. Mm. Because if he comes good, Kingy, and he's the sort of bloke that could be a dominant ruckman in the VFL, and then you can use him as a trade piece.
Yep.
Stanley's giving it away, isn't he?
I would have thought.
So Stanley's retiring, well, and then we're talking about this. The other one.
Well, I actually don't know whether he'll retire. I suspect if Geelong say, "Can you go one more?" He would.
If Marshall comes, not Stanley.
Well, no, they're not doing that.
No. But if Marshall didn't come, and they've got Stanley as absolute insurance, well, that's your insurance. But they've played him once this year, so the insurance was, and that's because Edwards has developed. I get that, and then they've got Blitzarves as that second option. Marshall is far more versatile than a Stanley at this stage. Marshall is. He's competent up forward to a degree. Are you going to place him up forward week in, week out? No. But he can go forward, take a mark, and kick a goal. So, people say that Edwards not playing Marshall, that would hinder his development. Edwards is still very young.
Mm.
Very young. 21, I think.
Has he turned
21? Yeah, he turned 21. So he needs some support. Could he learn off of Marshall? What's stopping Marshall actually assisting his development as a player? Now, does it mean that all the pressure is on Edwards to play? No, because you've got Marshall there. Could they work in tandem together? Possibly. But, yeah, you're right. It's certainly worth a discussion as to what you pay. If you're going to pay, it seems hard to believe the Cats could get Green, Marshall. I mean, Marshall's on about $800,000 or $900,000 at St Kilda. Mm. Now, unless he's happy to come and take some sort of pay cut, I don't know if they can do that, but if that's the case, Green's going to be on less than what GWS are offering, but still a good dollar, and Butters is going to be on 47 zillion.
Mm. Howler 41, great to put some of the March Premiers fans back in their box with the win over the We Pay Cash Blues. Attention quickly shifts to the Anchors in Perth. SDK returns for an unlucky dragon, allows Cameron to return to dangerous areas inside 50. Last time Luke Jackson kicked 3 from 28, Junk and Blitz have a huge job. Brayshaw had 35, do perhaps that's the man for the Guinness grip in Mullen. Go Cats. Great call last week. My personal favourite was Benny stating that someone was moving like a slug with a limp.
Yes, that was Polkinghorne. Twice it happened in about 2 minutes.
Yep.
He should have shepherded and he couldn't move. And then the ball went to the goal square and he was like he was in slow motion. Anyway, that's my little concern about Polkinghorne is his ability to be involved when the ball is on the ground.
That will come.
Well, I hope. He just looked slow. Now, was he tired? Possibly.
Yep.
But he looked a bit lumbery. Mm. And he reminds me a little bit of the way he plays, a little bit like a Jack Gunston. And Jack Gunston at this stage of his career isn't, but he used to be quite nimble for his size. I don't know if you'd say he was quick, but he was nimble, he was agile. I just, that'll be the area that needs to develop for Polkinghorne going forward.
Looking forward to it, Benny.
Yeah, it's going to be massive, Kingy. On the first quarter, I'll be just get your popcorn out and just grab hold of your...
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.